The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is Hubert Edwards, and I'm going to be your host for this morning. And we are planning to have a very good conversation. We're seeking to make a shift from the usual discussions, the discussions about the budget and economics and all of the things which have really consumed us over the last while. And we want to ask ourselves, how in this moment, how in this particular time, are we going to be in a place where we can secure success for ourselves, where we can secure success for family, when we can secure success for friends, for groupings, where we can secure success as a collective? Because it's important. As we observe the things which are happening in the world, as we look around and debate and deliberate on issues of inflation and increases in interest rates and removal of VAT and the cost of living going up and persons being vulnerable, we have to, at some point in time, from a personal perspective, step back and ask ourselves, you know, what role do I have to play in this? And I think in that analysis, in that process of analysis and assessment, there has to be a recognition that I, as an individual, you as an individual, is ultimately responsible for your state of being, ultimately responsible for however you will navigate the challenges which you're faced with on a day-to-day basis. Yes, there are going to be persons who are going to be there to help and assist. And no, we cannot do this alone. We always need our friends, our partners, our mentors, our coaches, our family. We need everyone. But at the end of the day, how are you working? You personally, yes, you. I'm speaking to you specifically. How are you working to be successful? And what does this idea of success mean? And you may ask, you know, why discuss this? Well, there are a myriad of other issues that we can talk about. We can talk about people marching and having to change their shoes. We can talk about the jubilee and what that may mean to you. It means something totally different to me. We can talk about all that's happening in the wide world. But at the end of the day, all of these things happen through the lens of your own personal experience, my own personal experience. And so today we want to switch to this idea of looking at success. So every person in life wants to be successful. That's where I'm starting this from. And, you know, some person may look on and say, that's absolutely not the case. Believe me, it doesn't matter how you see that individual. It doesn't matter how nonchalant that individual is. It doesn't matter how they may verbalize that they don't care about success. Every single individual wants to be successful. Wants to be successful at something and has a definition or a picture, a vision of what success represents to them. For the very, very hungry man, it's maybe just about getting some food. For other individuals, it may be broader than that. So everyone wants to be successful. So at times, we are led as human beings. We are socialized to not really believe that. We are socialized to think sometimes that success is a bad thing. We should stay away from that. We hear things like, oh, I don't want to be rich because if riches is how you define success, I don't want to be rich because it comes with a lot of problems. So we are socialized like that. We are told that it's not an appropriate way to feel at times in some environment, not everyone. Largely speaking, I think generally persons embrace the idea of doing well and being successful. But in some instances, we are discouraged from expressing that desire, that overt desire for success. Sometimes we rationalize away success because we either have a fear of success based on our, again, socialization, our environment, or we have a fear of failure. Usually the latter is the case. Many of us are afraid of failing. I am afraid of failing at times. You are afraid of failing at times. The important thing is to accept and understand that so we can manage that process. And so while it's easy to understand the fear of failing because, you know, it's a negative thing, sometimes the fear of success is a little bit more complicated. This morning, I have on the program my brother, my friend, my mentor, my coach, my family, Paula Prosper. And we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of success. He is an author, he's a coach, he's a crypto entrepreneur, he's an entrepreneur, generally speaking, and he is an individual who have a great background in retail, having led a number of large store in the Walmart chain. And so, you know, it's a pleasure to have him here today, all the way from United States via 80, to have this discussion. So, Paula Prosper, welcome to Guardian AM.
Hey, thanks for having me, my brother, my friend, my mentor, my coach, my brother from another mother. It's like, oh, man, for you, you and I, what we have in terms of connection in the direction of our vision, man, it's there's no words that can express it. Let me leave it as that.
Yeah, so, and certainly the feeling is mutual. Let's start where we ought to start this conversation. How do you seek success? What is success? Someone asks you, what does success mean to you? What is it that you're saying to them, Polo?
I'm always trying to refer to, when it comes to success, from where I am as an individual, and not to try to compare this with someone else's where they are in life. I'm always trying to help people to see themselves. Success is not defined by what you possess or what someone say you should be or act, behave, look in terms of materialistic. But success has to be something that's internally accept, believe, in order for you to actually activate the things that you and I, or the world in general, consider to be success. So this is how me personally, I would define success. When it comes to success for any individual, it has to be based from where you are and understand where you are and accept where you are. And that's when your success will begin.
Yeah, it is Winston Churchill who said that success is moving from failure to failure with enthusiasm. And I think it's something which is worthy of reflection, because the idea of being successful in a clinical and undisturbed way, in other words, all you're going to experience is the upside, not the downside, is totally, totally not in play. There's absolutely no individual under the sun who has been successful without finding themselves in some sort of a struggle, finding themselves going through challenges, finding themselves having to overcome impediments after impediments. Yeah. It simply isn't the case, because success and failure, isn't it, Paula, the same, the two sides of the same coin, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, one thing I realized, you know, I'm looking at my, one of the subtitles from my book that Believe and Succeed. And I'm looking at a quote, a small quote, actually, is one line that I read that, and it kind of reminds me of what we've been talking about for the past 5-6 years. It says success will not just happen. You have to be intentional. You know, when it comes to success, as you and I talk in many occasions, when I tell you my personal story in terms of between success and failure, I've always tell people this. I've never been afraid of failure, but I've always been afraid of success. Why is that? I believe the reason why I've always been afraid of success is because of the way I was growing up, you know, coming from Haiti. When you grow, and especially for me, I won't say in general for everybody, when in the environment that I was brought up, it's that they define success completely in a different way. If I'm successful, I'm supposed to be treating people who is less fortunate than me a certain way. Again, don't misquote me on this. I'm speaking from my own personal experience. So that was the reason, after a lot of self-reflection, after, you know, being in a self personal development industries for over 17 years, then one day I realized, oh, I'm not afraid of failure, which is for most people, that's the thing that drive them. But for me, I was always afraid of success, and I had to pinpoint that back to where I was, to the way I was brought up as a child. And I think, as I said to you before, that people have to look at success, it's not just something that you're going to be able to hold in your hand, or the tangible aspect that's going to define your success, but your success going to have to be defined by the things that you've done that help other people to advance them or to achieve something that they couldn't otherwise achieve on their own.
And I think that is so important, because at the end of the day, I think a part and parcel of one of the reason we work to be successful, however you define that, part and parcel of the reason that we have discussions like these, and you make time to write books and put out material, video, and content, is because of the fulfillment you get from serving others. And it's important that in our walk to success, however we define that, and I'm always going to say that because it means different thing for different persons. However you define that walk to success, I think an important ingredient in all of that is how well are you serving as much person as is possible. You know, the more you serve, the more you offer other individuals the opportunity for themselves to grow, I think the more you're adding value, not only to yourself, but adding value to humanity, adding value to the world. We talk about this whole idea of about fear of success, and you touch on that, because in some places, some people believe that life is about suffering. You should suffer. You know, if you're poor or you lack resources and you're suffering, some people think that that's a good thing. In other instance, there are persons out there who believe in this idea of scarcity. There is not enough for all of us. There's not enough to go around. So when they find themselves in that grouping, in that place where there is lacking, you know, they just accept it. You know, this is my fate. My fate is to live in scarcity while some other persons are. Some people think that life's decision or life situation, the circumstances of their life, is predetermined. And so wherever they may find themselves at any point in time is the place that they ought to be, because there is some totally invisible force out there which made that determination that this is how they ought to be, and they absolutely do nothing to change that. For some persons who are living in what I refer to as familial paradigms, which causes them to think about success or have anti-success thinking, like, as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, rich people have problems. It's better for you to stay where you are, because those things you have a desire for, is simply going to cause you to be, you know, stress is going to cause you to be in a state of worry. You have to, if you become an entrepreneur, you have to worry about paying people. You have to worry about the business. The building could burn down. You have to go get insurance. So we have these anti-success thinking. And then the route to success sometimes for many of us, we see it as too difficult, too complex. And in our minds, life should be easy. Life should not be this complexity of me having all the time to overcome challenges, to be picking myself up from the ground when I get knocked down, to be overcoming impediments. Life should be easy. So some of these things set the foundational thinking that holds some of us in that place. And I suspect that in the five things I've just outlined, one or two may have been the reason that you saw success in the way you saw it. And rather than having a fear of failure, you develop a fear of success. Like, for example, you don't want to leave your boys because if you get better, you will have to leave your boys on the
But I mean, actually, it's the truth. I mean, and it's the reality that we all have to come in terms with. And we are afraid to talk about it, especially when it comes to men. We have to understand this. Why do I have to be successful, right? This is what I said in the beginning. It's a choice. You have to be accept the fact that I am successful. I want to be successful. But most importantly, what is the reason why I need to be successful? You know, and if we don't understand the reason for the thing that we want in our life, and we're going to be afraid. We're not afraid because of the things that we want, but we're mostly afraid of because I'm not aware or I don't know what I'm going to get or receive on the other side of the things, right? So we tend to kind of want the very bare minimum so that we don't feel like we're responsible for anything else. Or I'm not responsible for you. Because if I'm successful, right? So if I'm successful, it means that I have a responsibility to do better. As the quote says, if you know better, you do better, right? But unfortunately, we're living in a society, people know better, but they refuse to do better because they're waiting for someone else to do it because they don't want to take responsibility. And with success has a great responsibility. So again, I said, people is not afraid people don't have the fear of success, but they have the fear of the responsibility. Because if you really think about, what am I afraid of? The question that we all should be asking yourself or anyone that's listening, when you feel afraid of something, first of all, you need to ask yourself, why am I so fearful? Why am I afraid of this thing? Usually we're usually afraid because we don't have a clear picture of what would happen on the other side of it, right? So because we assume what I want on the other side thing, when I get to the other side, things need to be this way, that way, a certain way. And I'm afraid that if it's not what I expect it to be, then I settle, you know, we tend to settle the situation. I might as well stay where I am because at least I wouldn't have to deal with the failure of not achieving it. You see what I'm saying? But then again, I think it's a responsibility that we have toward each other. It's that most people are afraid of. They just don't want to do it because they think that, you know, if I'm in a place of successful, that I have a responsibility to do better and to treat other people better and to make life better for my fellow brothers and sisters.
I think that is so, so powerful. I just got a text from a friend of mine, somebody who I have a great level of respect for. And he repeated what you said, fear of responsibility. He said, I like that. And that is true because, you know, I have observed in this particular individual the total opposite, taking responsibility in the space that he is and making sure that what he does is done in such a way, not to pander to anyone, but to put the truth out there, to put the information out there, it's taking charge of and making commitment to the things that you have to do. And like you say, Polo, it's really because we do not want to commit. We do not want to like you say, be responsible to responsible for being the better person in the room, responsible for helping to lead those who do not very well understand what the next step are. We do not want to be the one who everyone may look into for a path out. And as a result of that, we just figure, well, if we remain like everyone else, if we stay in the same place where everyone is, then obviously they can't call on us. They can't expect us to be any different. And so we have to be very, very, very prepared in life. The interesting thing about that is that decision to commit, that decision to take on the responsibility is often very uncomfortable. Yeah, it comes with discomfort. And it's uncomfortable usually to those who we are most, or who we are closest with. Not necessarily persons out there. The persons out there, it's usually a discomfort because we are thinking about what they may be thinking about us, right? So that's at one level. But those who are very close to us, immediately we start to get the eye, we start to get the vibes like, you know, why you think you're so different? You know, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And we may, in instance, many persons do, actually overcompensate for that, but remain where they are without any advancement in their lives. Talk to us about, as a young man coming from Haiti and going to the United States and having to kind of make your way, did you experience anything like this?
I mean, of course. And you know, in the States, I truly, you know, I've heard people say this, but, I've never really analyzed what it actually means. In the States, United States, we are living in it's a country of opportunity, right? But opportunity will not come to you. You have to knock on the right doors, right? You have to know where the opportunities are for you to seek them, right? So we tend to have individuals, I'm looking in my community, and I'm looking, why does some people make it? And why some seems to struggle to make it? Is it because people don't know what they don't know, or people are so late, including myself? That I know, I'm speaking to myself. I'm not talking to anybody else. I just speak to myself. Why am I struggling? Let me put it this way: why is my neighbor living in a better condition than I am? As I begin to look and analyze my neighbor, my fellow friends, my fellow brother, my fellow co-workers, and see what it is that they are doing differently than I am. One thing I realize, it's not because the person, you know, have an advantage, though we can ignore the fact that there are certain privileges to certain people, okay? But that's not an excuse for you to not partake. Right? Take advantage of what's available to you. Okay? But some people refuse to do it. They make excuses by saying, you know what? It's supposed to be easy. So if I go this route, I'm gonna have to put in some sweat equities. I'm gonna have to do some things that make me uncomfortable, that makes my family uncomfortable, that make my friend uncomfortable, that makes society or even society might not agree with at that time, because when you're pursuing a dream, you're pursuing a career, you're pursuing something that you love, it's not going to make sense to people who doesn't possess the dream or the vision. Yes, to answer your question, that happens to me in that sense, right? And the thing that I realize is if I want to improve myself, if I want to help others, I should say it this way, I have first need to learn to improve myself by knowing myself. What are my fears? What are my strengths? What are the things that moves me, that make me come alive? Because I believe in order for you to be successful, you have to understand those things first. And then once you take a hold of these things, now you have something you can share with people. Now you have something that you can actually impart and it will show someone how it's done. Okay. And so to answer your question, I believe, yes, I this is the best way I think I can explain it to you in terms to how I've experienced this in my life. Success, it is not about what, you know, people think it is. It's simply about you understanding that I'm going to take responsibility for myself. I'm going to take ownership of what I believe that I was created to do. And I'm going to humble myself, which is the most important thing, especially when it comes to men, right? Caribbean men, guys, we're prideful people. We're like, whatever, I'll find a way to do it myself, right? Yes. But you can't get anywhere. You will not make it in life to a level of success that is that position you where, you know, where you're able to help other people, right? You could be successful. Uh-huh. For yourself, you're doing good for yourself. You're doing better for yourself and your family. You're okay with that. And I've seen too many people have accepted that. They're okay with it because my family is good. I'm good. So it is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want success beyond you, you have to position yourself to be uncomfortable. And what if you take others with you?
I think that is so important. I remember one of the themes that we did our Success Summit on a couple of years ago. It was success beyond self. And, you know, this is really what this is about. It's the whole idea that we talk about often here on these programs, Ubuntu. I am because we are. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to continue having this conversation. I'm speaking with my friend, Paulo Prosper, who is living in the United States. He's originally from Haiti, a Caribbean man, Asian by birth. And so, you know, we're having this wonderful conversation on success. If you want to join us on the other side, our numbers are 323-6232, 225-4259, and 325-4316. Don't move. Come right back.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassar Guardians Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all back up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to land up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio, Guardian AM. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. And it's certainly a pleasure to be here with you. I'm sharing with Paula Prosper, who is my guest this morning, is my friend, my brother. And we're talking about this idea of success. Again, if you want to join us, the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316, if you have a comment or a point or a question. You know, the essence of mankind is to grow and to expand. The essence of nature is to grow and expand. Nature is always growing. Even in the process of, you're looking at a tree and it's dying. It has dried and it's now rotting. If you pay close attention, you would see that nature has found a way to use that as input material for something else. You may find some plants growing. You may find some beetles or some slugs or whatsoever feeding on that material. And likewise, it is extremely natural, the essence of us, to want to do more, to be more, to become more. And so we should not allow ourselves to feel any way jaded by this idea that I have a desire. Oftentimes, many times, I've experienced this. The initial thought of doing something, maybe doing something greater, doing something different, becomes a battle, an internal battle of, am I deserving of that? Should I do that? How will society see me? How will my friends see me? How will other persons see me? And the part about our growth and development, it's not that we can stop those feelings. It's not that we can stop those thoughts. It's that we learn. We get to a place where we learn to better manage them. And so on the growth trajectory, initially, they are difficult. And they become less difficult. And then you get to a point where, although they're always there, they're not as dominant. I have a note here in my thing which talks about this idea of wanting more. In the Christian tradition, it says we should be fruitful, we should multiply, and we should have dominion over things. It means that you have to be successful. The Bible's telling you, you have to go out and be successful. Now, I may be quoting out of context, but that's what I got from this. Be fruitful, multiply, and then have dominion. Be in control. Be in control of yourself. Be in control of your circumstances. Be in control of your situation. That is so important. And like I said to you, if you can mimic nature, if you can look out at nature, it's always growing. It's always seeking to. It's always seeking to do more. I use this example before. I have a small cherry tree in my backyard, and one of the things I've come to realize is, first of all, no matter how good you are, you will never, ever, ever consume all the cherries that the cherry tree bears. It's just too much. Some is always falling. But the fact of the matter is, my small cherry tree is not looking at the big cherry tree next door or the one across the road and saying, you are bigger than me. All it simply do is stand there, suck up all the nutrients which is possible, and there may be some deficiency. My yard is challenging in terms of planting things, but it sucks up everything that it can get, and it bears to its fullest potential. So every possible cherry that it can put out, it puts out. And that's the end of that story. And that's kind of how we should live our life. We should live our life from a position of, abundance, from a position of possibility, from a position that we can do this. We have the ability to do more, to become more. And then we disabuse ourselves of the need to be embarrassed and stuff by using our gifts, by using the things that we have accrued unto ourselves to help others to do the same. And I think that's where the balance is and the fulfillment is. We're going to take our first clip, and this is a clip from Paula Prosper, our guest, some material quoted from his book. We want to hear this, and then we want to talk a little bit about what the essence of the message is. So, Mr. Producer.
The effect of success or prosperity is simply in the quality of your thoughts. There will always be friends or family member who will disagree with this idea because this kind of thinking appears to be selfish. When understanding the law of attraction and apply it to your life, it is not a selfish act. Somehow, people still believe that it is more humble to live in lack. I grew up in an environment that teaches when you are poor, it is God keeping you humble. I'm sorry to say, this can't be true. There is no evidence to support this belief system. People simply create a philosophy around the things they don't understand to accommodate the theology. You and I are where we are today because of the decisions we have made or the decision someone else, which could be parent, a person of influence, or authority in your life has made for you up to this point. And you continue to live by their view of life rather than your own.
You continue to live by their view of life rather than your own. Talk to us about that, Polo.
You know, it's, and then again, I speak for myself. I speak from my experience, what I know. You know, the biggest thing that I had to overcome is to start learning to know myself. I know you quote the scriptures earlier, you know, me having a Christianity background base, right? I'm not a religion religious guy, but I love the concept, the ideas, and I live by it. The fact that, you know, you grew up in a society where there's a limitation, there's a box, let me put it this way, right? Society put us in a box, it created a box for us. The box began from the day you were born, right? And your parents started to tell you, or the people that loves you, care about you, begin to tell you, you cannot go outside.
I think we have lost.
This is what the culture said. You hear me?
Yeah, I think we lost you for a quick second. You cannot go outside.
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, yeah, okay. So we're talking about society puts you on in the box, right? From the day that we were born, right? So they tell you what you cannot or can or cannot do, rather than allowing your God-given talent to be explored. I'm speaking from a child's standpoint, but I'm not saying the fact that, oh, a child needs to do whatever the child wants to do. That's not what I'm saying. I'm referring to, yeah, from a child, how we get to where we are as an adult, we still have the mentality, child mentality barrier, because they created a box for us since childbirth and telling us we can or cannot do. When in reality, we serve a God, we have a creator of the universe who tell us that we could live a life of limitless, life of impossibility within boundaries, of course, that doesn't break one society laws, right? And that also doesn't break nature law, okay? If I'm operating within my God-given ability, my God-given talents to be what I was created and to be what I was designed and ordained for me to be and do, if I allow other people opinions, right? It could also, as I said, 90% of the time, it's the people that loves you, the closest to you anyways, that tell you what you shouldn't be doing. It's not because they don't love you, they don't have good intention by telling you these things. It's because they're trying to protect you. They're trying to protect you. Reason why they're trying to protect you, they themselves was being protected by their parents, by their great-great-grandparents. And it's a cycle that needs to be broken. And I realized this in my life, personally, in order for me to step outside of this box, I had to become a rebel. A rebel in the sense not to disobey, to disobey the law, the governmental law, right? Or the law of nature. As long as I understand, I stay within the law, the governmental laws, and I'm not breaking God or nature law, call it as you will, I'm okay to operate freely within my God-given talent. And this is the only way I am going to live a fulfilled life and be successful.
Yep. And, you know, I think what you lay out there is really a very useful path to thinking about how you should approach success. You go back from the perspective and you ask yourself the question, who am I? You know, why am I here? Why, what is my purpose? You know, why would I be in a circumstance? And I know, you know, we have to understand that different circumstances, you met them, you know, your friend down the road met a father or came by a father who's a millionaire and you came by a father who's a pauper, right? Your circumstances are different. But we are not talking about how you enter into this world circumstance. We're talking about the journey you take from where you are, from wherever you find yourself. Even if you had, you know, lots of success, you had a successful career and you were fired, whatsoever it is, now you have to move from this place. But the whole idea is to understand, start to tell yourself that, look, you know, I was created by God. I was created by a power, an entity, which is limitless. And if you believe in the Christian tradition, if you believe in the Christian Bible, it says we were created in that image. And so to the extent that we accept that there are certain things that we can't do, we do not have the ability, but there are a lot of things that we can. When we look out through the lens of the world and we see other persons doing these things, we have to get to the place where we start to think, well, you know, possibly I can do that too. I have the ability to do that too. And so we want to remind you, that every single time you have these inner conversation, these inner turmoil about whether or not you are worthy enough for success, whether or not success is something which you should be pursuing. I want to remind you and bring you into the awareness that there is a conclusion which is forming in your mind at the time, because you know deep in your spiritual self, the desire that you feel ought to be telling you a story. There's absolutely no way you're going to feel a desire unless there is a mustard seed of truth that you are deserving of these things. So, you know, all of us, many of us want to be well-educated. We want to be confident. We want to be liked. Many of us want to have wealth, and we're talking here about success, not wealth. But persons want wealth, and they want to have enough so that they can be comfortable. Persons want to be significant, whether it's in economic way or it's a social way or it's from a career perspective or just a personal perspective. Some persons want to be physically strong, physically fast. But we want significance as human beings. We want to be powerful. Now, you know, immediately I say powerful, some persons will kind of glean some negative connotations from that, but no, everyone wants to be powerful because you want to be powerful from the perspective that you have resources and influence. Because at the end of the day, that's all that happens, you know. When we have resources and influence, we can do or we can get anything done, pretty much. But we want to do so and we want to have influence so that we can positively impact the circumstances and outcomes of our lives. That's what we seek in the power, the authority, and the influence for, not to do bad things. We also want to live to our potential. We want to always be growing and developing. We definitely want to do that. Some people say, I can't bother, but deep down in their heart, they know that they want it. We want to be engaged in a pursuit. We always want to be engaged in a pursuit, and that pursuit ought to be every single time to become our better selves. As we use in one of my organizations, the mantra is the pursuit of greatness. You know, some person may look at it and say, oh, greatness, you want to be great. No, greatness means significance. We are always supposed to be in the pursuit of significance, which means that we need to be studying, we need to be reading, we need to be growing, we need to be helping others, we need to be committed. We need to not be afraid of taking responsibilities for doing the things which are necessary to change our life circumstances. So Paula, before we get the next half of the clip and we kind of running out of time, you know, it is Earl Nightingale who said, his definition of success, because, you know, success, I think, sometimes challenge persons. But he says success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. The progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Talk to us about how that hits you.
You know, that changes my life. He has a 21-day challenge on YouTube about 5-6 years ago. It says that if you listen to this content for 21 days straight, your life will change. Actually, I'm a product of that. And it's a testament to my whole entire life being shifted the way that it has shifted. You know, so it's not a secret when we talk about being powerful, right? And I get it. I get it why one would not want to be powerful, because you could tell that, you know, first of all, it's a misconcept of understanding of what their words actually mean. And when we tell someone that you are powerful or more powerful than you actually are, right? And so if people are afraid of that term, it's because the way power has been distributed, right? Because the way power has been manifested, whether it's from the government or whether it's from, authorities in your life, or whether it's sometimes even, unfortunately, from the people that supposedly love you, they misuse the power that they have. So in turn of that, when we are in position to embrace power, okay, and we tend to not want it because we think we have this idea of power in our mind. So yes, this is an amazing thing to understand when you know yourself and you understand that you are created, you have the God-given power. That with a God-given power that gave you the ability to succeed. You will not succeed in life if you don't understand that you have the power to move forward to success.
If you do not understand that you have the power to move forward, when life knocks you down, you will remain sitting. If you do not have the power to understand that you can move forward, when you lose that job, you will remain sitting. If you do not understand that only you and you alone have ultimately the power to move yourself from whatsoever circumstances you are to a different state, which is going to be better, you're going to be challenged. So let us take the final part of this clip as we get into the ending part of the show, but I just wanted to complete this not too long. And once we get on the other side, we'll kind of wrap this up, Polo.
Yeah.
Life wider than your own. How do you feel about your potential? It has been said, the way you feel on the inside is the direct correlation of how you will behave on the outside. At any point, you have the ability to manifest in your life what you truly believe in your heart. This is a truth that works from the dominant thoughts in your mind. If you see it in your mind, you hold it in your hand. If you have a poor self-image of your potential, you go through life living as you feel. You and I are always attracting to our lives the force to give us what we want as well as what we don't want. You have to leverage in yourself to win. Here's an amazing fact regarding emotions, which is energy in motion. According to research, emotions travel 8,000 times faster than thoughts. As a result, we are more likely to be affected by emotion rather than discipline and truth. You can't see the law of attraction effect here. Your emotion causes your mind to be affected by your feelings, which affect your actions. Therefore, if you don't line up your life with absolute truth, then your unsolved issues will eventually destroy your life.
Your unsolved issues will eventually destroy your life. What does that mean? I heard someplace that if you are not planning and growing, then you're going to spend the rest of your life repairing. And what that simply means is exactly what Paula just said. The things which are going wrong in any way, however you define them, there are issues in life to be solved. And until you solve them, until you make the change, until you go back to school, until you study, until you find a new job, until you start to budget, until you start to become more disciplined in the way you interact with individuals, until you do the things which create a different set of circumstances and outcome, your life is not going to change. It's absolutely not going to change. And so we have to, at every point in time, we have to be mindful that regardless of what we see happening around us, and right here in the Bahamas and around the world, we know we are under significant stress, economic and otherwise. But oftentimes, we have to take a moment to pause, a moment to reflect, a moment to understand that the things which are external to us requires a response. But the response is within. And the extent to which we can respond to those externalities is dependent on what is on the inside. And so that's why we're taking this moment to pause to talk about success, because success is important, especially for us out there who are in the struggling group. I'm putting myself squarely there. For those of us who struggle, who knew struggle, who had to, you know, really come up on the hard side, we have to remember that sometimes life is a cycle and, you know, you're going to get some highs, and you're going to get some lows, but you just cannot stop going. So I want you to think about a couple of things. I want you to make a decision that you're going to be successful. I want you to embrace the idea that you're going to be disciplined. And I want you to start to work to do things which create momentum and direction in your life, wherever you want that life to go. And then you have to develop a sense of consciousness and awareness that you must do the things to become progressive. And once you start to do that, I think you're going to be well on your way. And this is just for those who need it, for you who may feel, you know, we are unqualified to speak to you in this way. You know, leave it. It's not for you. This is for us. This is for persons who need to reassess, to reflect, to go within in order to make some progress on the outside. We are clean out of time, Paula, so let's get your wrap-up statement. It's certainly a pleasure having you here. We'll have to do this again, but always, always a pleasure connecting with you. Your final words.
Yes, sir. You know, I say this. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will dominate your life and you will call it fate. And for those of us, as you mentioned, I'm not talking to the intellectual. I'm talking to the average Joe like myself, who comes from the very bottom of the bottom, who understand this concept. And I had to understand it. That's the reason why I'm able to share it with my fellow brothers and sisters, my fellow friends, who may just need to hear someone who come from the bottom as they are, and who has hope, who has faith, who have a big dream. In order to realize it, I had to understand this. Unless you become consciously conscious of the things that's dominating your life, whether good or bad, you will call it fate. You will accept it and call it fate. So this is what I will leave you with. Appreciate you for having me on. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, man, and we definitely will have to do that. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will lead your life and you will call it fate. All that is left to do is say thanks for joining us. It was certainly a pleasure. COVID isn't over. Be careful. So take your time. So walk good, one love, and Ubuntu.